Today with Joseph Prince.
We who have robbed ourselves of our sin because of our sins have now become gainers because Jesus took the place of the one who did the wrong. And he restored what he never took away. And we are now the beneficiaries. Amen.
This month, you will receive this 3-CD audio series, God's Plan for Your Restoration, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Respond now, and we will also send you a bonus sermon, Can You See the Angels Protecting You? Hear Joseph share truths on how you can live life unafraid, even as the world is plagued by new strains of viruses today. Learn how God wants to give you more than you can ever ask or imagine, and begin to experience His 120% restoration in every area of loss. And for your gift of $95 or more, receive a copy of Inherit God's Best, Don't Settle for Less, 4-DVD album. In this powerful resource, discover how God's best blessings are your rightful inheritance today and begin to live out days of heaven on earth.
Are you hungry for what has been bought for you? Why did Jesus wear the crown of thorns? He can just go straight and die for our sins at the cross because thorns represent the curse. The ground that God says, curse is the ground for your sake, Adam. Jesus sweat blood. And when his blood and sweat mingled because of the redeeming quality of Jesus' blood, he redeemed all of us from the curse of sweat because he loves us. That's your inheritance.
Don't miss this faith-building resource. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org today.
With you about God's restoration. How many know when God restores, it is never back to the same condition? You know, when man restores, right? Let's say this chair over here, man restores the chair, it's never really like the original. All right? But when God restores, it's always greater in quality or quantity. Amen. I mean, if you have been a victim of a divorce or you've lost some loved one, you're not going to get 7 husbands back in quantity. I mean, understand that. But you will get a 7-fold husband, amen? One man, amen? 7-fold husband, you know what I'm saying? 7 times better than the one before. That's restoration. He'll have 7 folds, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing my best on Saturday night. But you will have a 7-fold, either greater in quality or quantity. Amen. That's the principle of God's word. So let's read some scripture as we get going. Look up here at Leviticus chapter 6. How many are glad on Saturday night in Lakewood Church you are reading the book of Leviticus? I mean, you can hardly pronounce it, Leviticus. Amen. All right, look up here. Now, I want to tell you in this chapter 6, it's talking about the 5th offering. There are 5 offerings in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus. Say burnt offering. Say meal offering. Say peace offering. Say trespass offering. Now, say sin offering. 5 offerings to depict one act of our Lord Jesus at the cross. Amen. It takes 5 offerings to describe the beauty of that one act. Amen. Now we're looking at the 5th one, trespass offering. Trespass offering is offered for something that you have done. You have sinned. You have done something you should have done. All right. You bring an offering to the temple. Sin offering is for what you are. Your very nature is sin. But thanks be to God, Jesus became sin at the cross that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Can I have a good amen? All right. So for the trespass offering, when you've done something wrong, you bring the trespass, the victim, the offering, all right, which is a ram. For the trespass offering, it must be a ram to typify Christ. And you bring the ram to the priest in the temple or the tabernacle back then. And this is what it says. It shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen or the thing which he has extorted or what was delivered to him for safekeeping or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. Now watch this. He shall restore its full value, add 1/5 more to it, which is 20% more, 120%. Okay? And give it to whomever it belongs. So whoever you have stolen from, whoever you have cheated, whoever you have injured, whoever you have done wrong to, you have to restore to the person the full value, which is 100%, at 1/5, which is 20%. Altogether, 120%. You got it? Okay, follow me now. If you can understand this, you can go back and, you know, it gives you some boasting rights. I have mastered the book of Leviticus. So, you restore the full value, plus at 1/5, it's 120%. Now, the injured party on the day of trespass, the injured party has become a gainer. Right? The injured party has become a gainer. Not only he gets back the full value of what has been stolen from him, taken from him, but he added to it, he gets 120%. Amen. That's God's way of doing it. Amen. And if you look at this and it drop down verse 6, he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish. A ram without, who is that? Our Lord Jesus. How many know that he is the ram without blemish? Amen. He did no sin, he knew no sin, in him is no sin. So here we have this beautiful picture of the ram without blemish, brought as a trespass offering because this man has sinned. But the ram became his substitute. Now, back in the Old Testament, the thief or the injurer, the one who did wrong, the one who did the harm, he has to compensate. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean today we have to compensate the people that wrong? Well, you know what? Let me just say this to you. There are people who believe in that today, but we are no longer under law. This is a picture of Christ. These are shadows. So who is the one that pays back to the injured party? Watch this. In Psalms 69, it's a messianic psalm. It says of Jesus here, they that hate me without a cause. Now this verse is quoted in John chapter 15 as pertaining to Jesus. They that hate me without a cause. Right? So it's a messianic psalm referring to who? Our Lord Jesus. Now, he said this, look at the last line. I restored that which I took not away. Do you hear that? The Lord Jesus took our place of sin at the cross. He took the place of the guilty party. He took the place as if he's the injurer, and he became liable for all our sins. Therefore, because he is now in the place of the one who did the wrong, the one who did the harm, he has to do the reparation. He's got to restore what he did not take away. By the way, this reparation and this restoration is only for people that have lost something. Someone who has been done wrong to, someone who has been injured, someone who has lost something, who has been stolen from, right? So the one that qualifies for 120% restoration is somebody who has lost something, who has been robbed, has been injured. Now, who amongst us have not been robbed by the enemy? Who amongst us have not lost something that we you know, whether it's our foolishness or somebody else's foolishness, we've been robbed from, we've been injured by others? So people like this qualify for the restoration. Are you listening? Only people like this qualify for the restoration. When God restores, it's always greater in quality and quantity. Of all the 12 disciples, who was the one that denied knowing Jesus with cursing and swearing? You're not sure? Peter. Now, Judas should have hung around. But instead, he committed the... excuse me, I don't mean it that way, but... I didn't plan for it to come out that way. All right? But the thing is this. I should have said, he should not have hung around. It was the greatest act of self-righteousness to want to pay for your own sins. Because Peter also sinned, right? That night, he denied knowing Jesus, cursing and swearing, not just one time, three times. Now, if Judas would just hang around, all right, just a little while longer the next day, Jesus would hang for his sins. And the Lord would restore him. But instead, he committed the act of self-righteousness and hung himself. Now, that leaves us with Peter. Peter denied knowing Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, and the women came to the empty tomb that Sunday morning, Jesus left an angel there with a message. Look at what he said to the angel, to the women. Go tell his disciples and Peter got a special mention. God's grace is like that, people. You know, where sin increases, grace superabounds. Romans 5 tells us clearly, verse 20, where moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. You know, I think in Bible schools today, if you ask the question, why did God give the law? They'll say, well, to show his holiness and all that. No one will answer that the offense might abound. And yet, the law came in so that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Where? Location. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now in the Greek, the word where sin abounded is the word pleonazo, which is the word increased in abundance. You can still measure it, increase in abundance. But the word grace abounded much more is the Greek word hooper parousio, which means superabounded. Where sin increased, grace superabounded. Can I have a good amen? 2 weeks after Jesus rose from the dead, he met the disciples by the Lake of Galilee. You know, they toiled all night, they caught nothing. And then he says, throw your net on the right side. And they found an abundance of fish, so much so that they could not bring the fish into the boat. They had to drag the fish to the net to land. And then they had breakfast. Jesus made breakfast. In his resurrected form, our Lord is not averse to making breakfast. And he made breakfast for them. They sat, they ate quietly. At the end of the breakfast, he looked at Peter. You all know the story, right? Let me ask you a question. Who received this high dignity from the Lord? Who received this honor from the Lord? Who received this? Feed my lamb. Take care of my sheep. Shepherd my flock. Who received this trust of all the disciples that were there? Come on. Peter. The one who denied knowing Jesus. And watch this. Location. How did he sin? With his mouth. And when he got up on the day of Pentecost and he preached with that mouth, only a few days ago, denied knowing Jesus' location. In the very mouth, now he preached. And with that word that came out of his mouth, 3,000 souls were saved. Now, church, we've been robbed of this truth, so much so that people are so afraid. They go to Romans 6 and say, yeah, what shall we say then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? Of course not. We're not telling you sin more that grace may abound. We are telling you where sin increases, grace superabounds. That is a truth no one can change. And no religious devil can change that. If you have done something wrong, the devil always comes to you. Now you can expect something bad to happen to your kids. Now you can expect something bad to happen to your finances. Now you can expect. Now it might not be outward or even a vocal, but you sense that the evil spirit trying to. And sometimes preachers, not this preacher, of course. All right, but there are preachers from the pulpit. That's why they call it a pulpit. It pulls you into the pit, or it pulls you out of the pit. You know, and preachers help along. And when you sin, it's almost like they say, "Don't expect God to." You know, say, "Look at what happened to David." David sinned, and this happened, and that happened, and this happened. David, listen carefully. David is not in the new covenant that you and I are under. He didn't have Jesus as his Messiah. He was under the blood of bulls and goats, which is temporal. David received mercy. Listen carefully. Even though he was punished. but it was tempered with a lot of mercy. You are not where David was. You cannot use David as an example because David was under the law. We are not under the law, we are under grace. If you're going to use an example, use way before David, Abraham, Father Abraham. Abraham lived 400 over years before the law was given. And you know something I noticed one day, reading through the story of Abraham, and I challenge you, Bible teachers and all, I challenge you. God never verbally rebuked Abraham. Never. Have you noticed that? God never condemned Abraham. Now, Abraham learned the ways of God, but you never find God rebuking Abraham. In fact, two times he lied about his wife. Remember? Amen? Why? He has a very spiritual reason. He wants to save his own skin. He said, don't tell, I know you're a beautiful woman. Sarah, you're a beautiful woman. All right? So we are going into this. The first one was Egypt. And surely they will kill me to get you. So please say you are my sister. Very spiritual reason. Then she says, okay. And Pharaoh saw the woman. Pharaoh's servant took her to Pharaoh. God had to intervene. Remember? A number of years down the road, Abraham was now about 99 years old. His wife was about 89 years old. And they went to Gerar. And Abimelech, he's the feature of that song, Abimelech, Abimelech, Abimelech. La 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 la. The lion sleeps tonight. La 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 la. You know the song? Abimelech. So King Abimelech. Abimelech saw the woman at 89 years old. He was 10 years older than her. Saw the woman and says, get her from me. And what did Abraham say? She's my sister. And the Bible says, that night, God came to Abimelech. When I first read that, I said, God, you came to the wrong man. The guy is innocent, right? Abraham said that he's my wife. She's my wife. She's my sister. And she said, my brother. How can you? But God said, you're a dead man. The first thing God said to Abimelech, Abi, you're a dead man. Imagine God appearing to you at night and say, you're a dead man. Then he, in a very high-pitched voice, Abimelech says, Lord, I didn't know I was innocent. In the innocency of my hands, in the integrity of my heart, you can read all about it. And God says, I know you didn't know. Now, restore to the man his wife. Now, listen to this. For he is a prophet. The law first mentioned. The first time prophet is mentioned in the Bible is here. God calls Abraham a prophet. The man just lied. The man just lied. Y'all. He just plain lied. And God says, restore to the man his wife. He is a prophet. And then God said this. And he will pray for you. And you will live. And the next day, he gave Abraham so much money, 1,000 pieces of silver, and said, why do you do this to me? He couldn't even lift a finger on Abraham. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. God could have rebuked. God should have rebuked. My natural, instinct, my sense of fairness says God should have rebuked. God should have appeared to Abraham and says, you're a dead man. You didn't stand up for your wife. Right? But you need to understand one thing. God wants us to understand the covenant of grace that Abraham was under. And God knew, listen carefully, that by his goodness shown to Abraham, it will lead Abraham to repentance. It will lead him. That's the grace, that's the same covenant that we are under. Are you listening? Amen. Let me close. I can just imagine this man. Show them that verse, Exodus 22, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep, slaughters it or sells it, He shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, 4 sheep for 1 sheep. I can just imagine this man lying in bed after he has been restored. The thief has been caught and he has been paid 5 oxen for 1 ox that he lost. So he's lying there in bed and he's chuckling to himself. You know, Martha, I'm so glad that boy stole our ox. Old Daisy was growing old anyway. And now instead of 1 old ox, ox cannot be Daisy, right? Okay, anyway, Danny boy, okay. Instead of 1, we now have 5. I'm so glad that happened to us. You know something? We are not back where Adam was. The restoration is always greater. Adam fell, but if Adam never sinned, have you ever wondered? If Adam never sinned, God's role, God even has become a gainer to what Christ did. Because before Adam sinned, God was not the Father. He was the Creator with His creature. But because of what Jesus did, He's now the Father and His family. The glory that Jesus would have won if Adam never sinned is only creatorial glory. But because of what Jesus did, he now wears the Redeemer's crown. If Adam never sinned, we will all still be living today. We'll still see Adam alive today. He'll still be young. All of us will still be strong, all right, young. No one will die. But we never know about the future. We live with uncertainty because everything about the garden depends on obedience. That means we are depending on one sliver, one thread of obedience. And if Adam doesn't disobey, maybe another son of his would. You never live with that kind of certainty. But today, because of what Jesus did, we are not dependent on our obedience, but on the obedience of one who died for us on the cross. And our future is secured. Can I have a good amen? Listen, God has gained much more glory. God has received more praise from the fields of redemption than all that He ever received from the fields of creation. God Himself has become a gainer through what Jesus did. We who have robbed ourselves of our sin because of our sins have now become gainers because Jesus took the place of the one who did the wrong. And He restored what He never took away. And we are now the beneficiaries. Amen.
Hello, I'm so glad you could join us. I want to share with you about the Lord's restoration today. Did you know that as God's child, you can expect His much more restoration for every area of loss you've experienced?
Maybe you have suffered from a condition that has robbed you of health for a long time. Maybe you feel like you have lost your child to an addiction or sinful lifestyle. Or maybe you are living in regret over bad decisions you made, and you are saying to yourself, "It's over for me." Beloved, because you are God's child, it is not over.
That's right. It's not over. God's powerful restoration is on the way. He wants you to experience restoration for everything the enemy has stolen in your life. I want to encourage you with a special teaching resource this month to help you learn all about your right to God's restoration. I want to show you from the scriptures that Jesus' finished work at the cross has qualified you for 120% restoration. That means you can come out a gainer even when you have suffered loss. I believe this eye-opening and faith-building resource will be a huge blessing for you. So make sure you request this resource and be positioned to receive God's amazing restoration in your health, your family life, your finances, in every area the enemy has stolen from you.
This month, you will receive this 3-CD audio series, God's Plan for Your Restoration, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Respond now, and we will also send you a bonus sermon. Can you see the angels protecting you? Hear Joseph share truths on how you can live life unafraid, even as the world is plagued by new strains of viruses today. Learn how God wants to give you more than you can ever ask or imagine, and begin to experience His 120% restoration in every area of loss. And for your gift of $95 or more, receive a copy of Inherit God's Best, Don't Settle for Less, 4-DVD album. In this powerful resource, discover how God's best blessings are your rightful inheritance today and begin to live out days of heaven on earth.
Are you hungry for what has been bought for you? Why did Jesus wear the crown of thorns? He can just go straight and die for our sins at the cross because thorns represent the curse. The ground that God says, curse is the ground for your sake, Adam. Jesus sweat blood. And when his blood and sweat mingled because of the redeeming quality of Jesus' blood, he redeemed all of us from the curse of sweat because he loves us. That's your inheritance.
Don't miss this faith-building resource. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org today.
Well, about 2 years ago, I was just on my couch listening to Christian television and just happened to be flicking through the channels, and there was Joseph Prince. And he was speaking a message about grace, and I've been listening to him ever since, and I've fallen in love with Jesus all over again.
I'm a pastor's son, so, you know, I kind of got out of the way. And through his message, he had brought me back into the path where I should have been from the beginning.
So it's taken us from a real preoccupation with ourselves and given us just an incredible view of Jesus Christ, where we're more thankful, we're more energetic, and we feel just very free.
I used to condemn myself, be so hard on myself, but once I heard the message of grace, it's like, I love it. It's so free.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.